Okay, so during these programs, we've been talking about the soul and how the soul gets wounded through sin and trauma, and how once the soul has wounds in it, it can affect every single area of your life. From your finances to your health, we'll be prospered and be in health even as our soul prospers. To our families, to our ministries and our businesses, to wrong thinking, wrong emotions, to divorce, to marriage, to almost every part of your life. A myriad of different areas can be affected by wounds in your soul. Today, I'm going to talk about a specific sin that wounds your soul, and then the sicknesses that can come from those wounds. And it is the sin of offense, of being offended. We have become an offended generation. The world around us is offended. Man, when you go outside into the world, you see how much the world is completely offended at everything. I mean, you might be in the grocery store and accidentally like step in front of somebody and they just flip out on you. The world is completely offended. But you know what? You really can't be mad about that because they don't have Jesus. They don't have the Holy Spirit to convict them and to control them. But the thing that's unacceptable is that the church has also become extremely offended. The body of Christ has just become so offended. I mean, we have become offended about everything. We're offended if they don't make our coffee right at the coffee shop. We're offended at the waitress if she doesn't bring our food fast enough. We're offended at our boss because he might tell us to do something we don't want to do. We're offended at our pastor because we need him to pray for us, but he was just too busy last Sunday. And well, that's it. I can't deal with pastor anymore. He never gives me the attention I need. We're offended at the people in the church sitting right next to us, but we're pretending to be their friend, but we're offended at them. We're offended at our spouses for how they treat us, our kids, for how they talk smack to us and disrespect us. We're offended at our mom and dad for sticking their nose into our lives all the time. We're offended at everything. We're offended when we're driving down the street and people like cut us off. We'll be sitting there worshiping to our favorite CD and somebody will cut you off and all of a sudden you go from praise the Lord to learn how to drive. What? You know, then you go right back to, oh, and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You might even go so far though as to like wave at them with like the wrong finger or something. You get so offended, right? How many of you completely lose it in the car when you're on the freeway? We're offended at everything. You know, we have to watch ourselves. You have to understand offense is a sin. And it is a sin that not only will wound your soul, but it can make you physically sick. Right now, there are thousands, hundreds of thousands, even millions of people across the world right now that have a physical sickness that has come upon them because they let themselves get offended and stay offended. And you're going to see all the wide variety of diseases that can come upon people when they get involved in that sin. And they let themselves be chronically offended. I mean, I've got to watch myself from being offended. I mean, you know, Amy Dawson and I tour all the time. And everywhere you go, you have an opportunity to be offended, don't you? Every single day. Every single day. You know, we spend a lot of time in airports and we actually tried to count how many times we had to like possess our soul in the airport. You know, just TSA alone will make you lose your Christianity. And I go through, and when I go through the metal detector, I'm so grateful because I hate the other thing, the x-ray thing. But the metal detector can make me really bother too because I seem to set it off every time, no matter what I do to prepare myself to go through. I set it off, and then when I come to the other side, they're like, excuse me, ma'am, can you step over here because we need to pat you down. Well, I did 5 years in federal prison. The words pat you down, I never want to hear again, all right? And then I get over there and they say, okay, put your hands up in the air and put your feet apart. Well, them to me is fighting words. They don't understand. And I've got to possess my soul when those moments come. And whenever we go through, you know, we've got the camera equipment and everything else. And Amy has to go through the, what is this? What is that? Is this an explosive device? You know, let me test it for drugs. You know, and we're always held up at TSA. Praise God, they're doing their job. But we have to possess our soul and not become offended. I remember it wasn't too long ago when we were going through the line and we got super far behind. And now we're late for the gate. And we need to run to the gate, and we jumped on the people mover. You know what the people mover is, right? It's the moving sidewalk. Well, you know that there's actual people mover etiquette. Did you know that? The etiquette is that if you are not in a hurry, you stay to the right with your bag so that people like me who are in a big hurry can race by you on the left-hand side, right? So we are very late. Because we went through the rigmarole at TSA, and then we jump on the people mover, and we're going for it. You can get really fast on the people mover, you know, like 25 miles an hour, jamming down the people mover. So we're going for it. We're headed towards the gate, and I'm coming up on this lady, and she's standing to the right, and she just kind of like, she's on the phone, totally obliv, steps right out in front of me, right as I'm like racing up behind her. I literally had to like screech to a halt. Put on the brakes, and I'm sitting behind her, and you know how you get, man. You're in a hurry, you're upset that you're late, and now this person has cut you off, and I mean, you're in back of them going like this, and you're thinking, I know you can hear me breathing. You can feel it on your neck. Turn around and look at me and move. And she's, we'll have lunch, you know, totally obliv. And I'm sitting there thinking, I want to scream at her something like, lady, move it, this isn't a ride at Disneyland. And she's still staying there, and Amy's behind me doing this. Possess your soul. Down. And I'm like, you know how when somebody tells you to possess your soul right in the middle of you not wanting to possess your soul, you're like that. I mean, it's like one thing after another, you know. Going to the bathroom at the airport, this happens so many times. You're in a hurry, you go, finally the stall opens, there's a huge line, you get there, you run in the stall, and you've got to, you know, really bad, and you look down and there's pee on the seat, and you like want to scream over the stall, what? You couldn't even wipe the seat. You know, but you're like trying to possess your soul. So you like wrap this huge ball of toilet paper around you, your hands. So there's a lot of padding between you and it. Then you swab the seat. And it's still damp even after that. And you dispose of it. If you put a paper thing, you put it down and it sticks to the seat. You can see the moisture coming through. You're getting more and more mad at the part of this thing goes on. You finally end up just hovering. Because you can't dare to sit down. Come on, you've all hovered. You know you have. It's true, isn't it? I mean, if somebody even like standing to go on the airplane, you're waiting, and if somebody just moves a little bit into your space in front of you, you're like, you're trying to cut me off. That's what you're thinking. That's all your mind trying to cut me off. So you go, right? Come on. I'm the only one, right? Y'all can go home now, you're healed. Isn't it true? You got offended when you came in here and you set your Bible down on the pew. You went to the bathroom and you came back. It had moved a couple inches because the person came and they scooted it over. They touched your Bible and took 2 more inches of your space. Ugh. Isn't it true? We're offended at everything. We're bothered. But we have to be careful, church. Amen. We have to be careful because offense is a sin, and that sin can wound your soul and then make you physically sick. It's so interesting. I just got a report from somebody I met here at the sanctuary a couple weeks ago. She said that her ex-husband, who was very offended, I guess, at her as she was of him, he had developed bone cancer. She sent him this message on being offended, and he listened to it and got healed of bone cancer. You You're going to be surprised at how much sickness is upon us because we've let ourselves get offended. Let's look at some scriptures first that prove that sin wounds the soul, then causes physical sickness. Micah 6:13 says this, "Therefore I have also smitten you with a deadly wound and made you sick because of your sin." You hear that? In this scripture, God is saying that his people Israel had sinned. That sin had wounded them and then made them physically sick. Amen? Psalm 41 says this. In verse 3, it says that God restores them from their bed of illness. Next verse, "Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against thee." See that? So here's this promise of God restoring us from our bed of physical sickness. Then in the very next verse, it tells us how he does it. He heals our soul when we sin against him. Did you get that one? See that? That's how God heals us of our sickness many times. He heals our soul when we sin against him because that sin wounded our soul and made us sick. Amen? Psalm 103 puts it all together. The soul, sin, and sickness. It says, "Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all thine iniquities and heals all thine diseases." See, the psalmist here is connecting it all together. He starts with twice saying that the Lord is going to bless his soul. Then in the next verses, he tells us how. By washing us clean of all our iniquities and healing us of all the diseases. That's how he blesses our soul. He heals us of the sins that wound us and the disease that came from that wound. Amen? You understand? There's no coincidence. The psalmist isn't just going, "Yeah, bless the Lord, oh my soul, who heals, who forgives all my iniquities and heals all my diseases." He's understanding that the soul gets blessed when it's healed of the sin that wounded it and made the physical body sick. Sin causes wounds in our soul that then can cause us to be sick. We talked about this briefly before, but I'm just going to mention again, the man at the pool of Bethesda. Remember him in John 5? There was a pool. A multitude of lame and sick people were gathered around it. They were waiting for the angel of the Lord to stir the water because whoever got in first when the water was stirred would get healed of whatever disease they have. And it said that there was a man there who, quote, had an infirmity for 38 years. Okay, so this guy's been sick for 38 years. Why? Well, it was because he had a wound in his soul. Remember what the word infirmity there means. It means weakness and infirmity of the body and of the soul. That's from the Strong's. Weakness and infirmity of the body and of the soul. Meaning that guy was sick for 38 years in his physical body because he had a wound in his soul. And the Bible even tells us where that wound came from. Jesus ran into him later on after he was healed. He ran into him at the temple, and what did he say to him? "I see you're well now, stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you." Jesus right there has given us insight to why this guy was infirmed, why he had a wound in his soul. He had sinned. That sin had formed the wound, caused him to be infirmed, and then his physical body became infirmed also. Sickness, sin, and the soul, they're all tied together. Now, that guy had a wound in his soul at the pool that came from sin. Does the Bible tell us specifically what sin he had that made his soul wounded? No, not really. But if you listen to his response to Jesus, when Jesus asked him, "Do you really want to get well?" we can kind of discern what that sin might have been. And I think part of it was that he was offended. Let's listen to what he says. Jesus said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And verse 7, it says, "The sick man answered him, 'Sir, I got nobody to put me in the pool when the water stirred. But while I'm coming down, somebody steps before me.'" Now, I'm not trying to make anything happen here. But do you think there could be a possibility that this man was offended? When he says, I've got no one to put me in the pool, do you think he might be thinking about, where's my family? Where's my family or my friends? I got nobody to put me in the pool. Nobody cares enough about me to be here, to wait with me here night and day as I suffer, to put me in the pool when the angel stirs the water. I've got nobody. And then I not only think that he might have been offended at his friends or lack thereof or his family, but also at the other sick, crippled peeps at the pool. Why do I say that? Because then he says, while I'm coming down, another one steps in before me. Meaning what? You know, I've been here 38 years. And these other sick people haven't even been healed, haven't even been sick half the time I've been sick. But yet, when the water stirred, oh, they cut right in line. They jump in right before me. They don't care. They don't care about me. But when the water stirred, another one just comes down and steps in before me. Is there a possibility that this man was offended? That could have been his sin? I think there is. And how horrible that if offense was part of the reason that that man was sick and it wounded his soul, that he was sick for 38 years. 38 years. I think that's one of the reasons why Jesus, when Jesus healed him, what did he say? I see you're well now. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. I think Jesus might have been implying, stop being offended. Don't get offended again, because then you'll get sick again. Amen? Do you receive it? Praise the Lord. Offense. Gosh. It's so hard to fight being offended sometimes, isn't it? Because people just do stuff that's just wrong. You know? You are wrong for that. You are bad. You are wrong. You know what I mean? People do that, eh? Just like the guy at the pool. If you think about it, you know, if you were his buddy, you'd say, yeah, that's so wrong of them. I can't believe your family's not in here helping you at all. That's wrong. Or if you were friends with him and other people were cutting in line when the water got stirred, you'd be like, hey, my buddy's first. You are wrong for that. Cutting in line, wrong. Isn't it true, though? It's hard not to be offended sometimes, isn't it? But offense is a sin that can wound your soul and then cause you to be sick. Let's look at some more biblical proof in James 5, okay? I'm going to start at verse 14. It says, is anyone among you sick? He should call the church elders, the spiritual guides, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer of faith will save him who is sick, and the Lord will restore him. And if he has committed sin, he'll be forgiven. Okay, so this verse starts out with giving us some instruction about what somebody should do if they're sick. You know, they go to the spiritually mature, the elders of the church, they get anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith will make them well. And then I love how it adds on too that they will not only be healed of their sickness, but they'll be forgiven of their sins. It says if they have committed sins, they will be forgiven. Well, that kind of connects it, doesn't it? That scripture kind of indicates right there that some of the sickness that gets healed when people pray for people is sickness that came from sin. And when Jesus heals you, of course, he does the whole thing. He heals your body and he also forgives the sin that you committed that perhaps could have been the reason for the sickness too. And then in the next verse, it kind of gives a breakdown on some of the sins that could possibly have been the cause of the sickness. Let's just listen to it. It says this, then now confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, and your sins, and pray for one another that you would be healed. So in this verse, it kind of breaks down some of the different types of sins that could have caused the sickness. And it lists offenses as one of them. In the Bible, offenses refers to sin, but the word offense also means to be offended. And it's saying here that when you confess your offenses to one another, you will be healed. Healed of what? Well, I looked it up. Does it mean just spiritually healed? Does it mean, you know, healed in your mind? Does it mean, what does it mean? I looked up the word healed there, and it means to be healed of diseases. Meaning, when you get healed of the sins of offense, you will be healed of the diseases that came upon you when you took part in that sin. Amen? I love this scripture, because it shows us that offense is a sin that can cause you to be sick and then cause you to need to be healed of that sickness. says when you confess your offenses to one another, you'll be healed. And it said that word healed means healed of diseases. Remember, I've looked up this word. Diseases encompasses a lot of stuff. It means toxins, parasites, bacterias, viruses, ailments, illnesses, all that stuff. That's a wide variety of illnesses. You're not going to believe the stuff that can come upon you when you are offended. I see a lot of people with bacterial diseases and they've been offended because of it. I see a lot of people with viruses and it's because they were offended. I've seen a lot of people with flus and all kinds of disorders and it's because they've allowed themselves to be offended. We got to stop being offended because it's making us sick. Offense is a sin that'll wound your soul and do just that, bring disease upon you. Now, offense is not only a sin that makes you sick, but offense also hinders you from receiving supernatural empowerment from Jesus to get well. You want a miracle, but you're offended. An offense stops the miracle realm from being open to heal you. Let me prove it. Remember the story in Matthew 13 where Jesus goes to his hometown and he begins to teach in the synagogue and everybody's like amazed and saying, wow, who's this guy? Don't we know his family? You know, where did he get all these powers? And Jesus responded to them by saying, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. And then he says this, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. See, the Bible says it was because of their lack of faith that Jesus was unable to perform miraculous healings in his hometown. But guess what? It was not only the sin of unbelief that blocked the miracle healings. It was the sin of offense. Listen to the whole story in verse 54. It says, coming into his own hometown, Jesus began to teach the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers, they asked. Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas with us? Aren't his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And then verse 57 says this, and they took offense at him, and he did not do many miracles there. Ouch. It wasn't just lack of faith that shut down the miracle power. It was the sin of offense. They were offended at Jesus. And because of that, he could not do the miraculous healings that he would normally do there. See, the church right now is sick, and we're praying for healing. And we're believing it, and we're decreeing it. We've got our Bibles out. We got our scriptures. By his stripes, we are healed. God sent his word and healed them. And we're quoting our scriptures, and we're fasting, and we're praying, and we're decreeing and believing. And nothing's happening. You know why? Because simultaneously, while we're fasting and praying and decreeing and believing, we are being offended at our spouse. Or at our neighbor. Or at our pastor. Or at somebody. You're believing for healing, but you're being angry and offended at the same time. And the sin of offense shuts down the miracle realm. Are you with me? You got quiet. Is that because you're convicted? I hope. No. Are you with me? Right now, there's people watching this telecast, and they are completely offended at someone, and you're sick right now. Sick at the same time. And you've been praying and you're so frustrated, so exhausted and tired. Why isn't Jesus doing a miracle for you? You read about the miracles in the Bible. You know they exist. And you desperately need one for yourself. And you're not getting it. And maybe it's because you have become offended at someone. And it's shutting down the miracle power of Jesus. So how do we get healed of these wounds that come from our constant offense? I got to go back to the same, I'm preaching the same message over and over again. Two things. This is a simple message. It's all about Jesus. It's about his cross and his resurrection. The blood from the cross and the dunamis power that comes from the resurrection. First, the blood. Whenever you get offended, what do you need to do? You need to repent. You need to forgive the person you're offended at. You need to apply the blood. Because what does Leviticus 17 say? That it's the blood that atoneth for the soul. It's the blood that atoneth for the soul, meaning the blood is going to wash away every sin that would wound your soul. Amen? So you need to start with the blood always, but you can't stop there. You can't stop there because our sins of offense have made wounds in our soul, and we need to have those wounds healed. And the specific power that does that is the dunamis power that comes from the resurrection. Paul said, Philippians 3:10, I want to know him and the power, dunamis, of his resurrection. That word dunamis means what? Excellence of soul. That's what it means in the Greek. Excellence of soul. It makes your soul excellent. It heals the wounds that came from the sins of offense. You see, sometimes we need both. We've been only pleading the blood. Let me just tell you this. That's why when you get offended at somebody, being really bothered, and then after a while you go, okay, God, I'm convicted. I'm sorry, I'm offended at them. I repent for being offended, and I forgive that person I'm offended at. And you spend time in your closet, right, repenting and forgiving. Repenting for being bothered, repenting for being offended, and forgiving that person. And then what happens? You walk out of your closet, you're all proud of yourself, you think, okay, I did the right Christian thing. Okay, you get in your car, you go to the grocery store to go shopping, you walk in there, and there in the corner of that store is that woman who has been talking about you this whole time that you're offended at. And as soon as you see her, you go like this. Why do you do that? Didn't you just repent and forgive? Why do you feel like that when you see her? Why do you go, as soon as you see her? Because you put the blood on the sin, but you never put the dunamis on the wound that sin made. That wound is still there making you hate that person's guts. So you go back in your closet, Lord, I'm so sorry. I can't stop thinking about how much I can't stand that person. I'm so sorry, and I repent, and I forgive them again for the 15th time this month. And you go back in your closet over and over again. You feel so convicted because you can't stop being a hater in your mind. But it's because there was still a wound there. You didn't stay in your closet and participate and take a hold of the blood from the cross and the dunamis power from the resurrection. You got to start pleading that over your soul just as much as you plead the blood. Because if you had, you would have received the power of dunamis inside of you. You would have become what dunamis means, excellent of soul. And next time you see that woman in the grocery store, you'd be like, girlfriend! I love you. I know. You love me too. I love you back. And you'll mean it. You got to have both. You got to have both. Let's go back to the James scripture just to prove that James is telling you you need both. James is telling you need both. Where does it start out in verse 16? In James it says, confess to one another therefore your sins, your offenses, and you will be healed. What does that mean? Confess to one another your offenses, then you'll be healed. What is that? That's repentance and forgiveness. That's you repenting, that you repenting to that person, repenting to yourself, repenting to God. I'm offended. I'm sorry. Forgiving that person. I forgive you. God, I forgive them. That's what that means. That means partaking of the blood. That's what that scripture means in James. What does the other part of James mean? Listen to it again. What does it say? Is anyone among you sick? He should go to the church elders, and they should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. So this is the second part. This is the second part, the second step in you getting healed of your sins and your sicknesses, including the sins of offense. It's saying, go to the elders, have them anoint you with oil, and then you'll be made well. Well, when it talks about anointing with oil, is it saying that the oil, the olive oil coming out of a bottle on a person's head is going to make that person well? Well, there are a lot of oils in the world that have very strong healing properties. But here's the thing. I think more so, when it says you're sick, go to the elders and they'll anoint you with oil, it's more so talking about what the oil represents. What does the oil represent in the Bible? It represents the anointing, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Oil represents an anointing, doesn't it? They used to anoint kings with oil. Anointing is a supernatural empowerment. A declaration of an office in the kingdom. It's an empowerment. Amen? What is dunamis? It's an anointing. Acts 10:38 says, and God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, dunamis, and he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. A dunamis is an anointing. So when it says here, if anyone is sick, he should call the elders. They should pray over him, anointing him with oil in the Lord's name. And the prayer of faith will make the sick one well. What's it saying? It's saying, go to the spiritually mature, and they're going to pour out the anointing of dunamis that's inside of them. It's the oil of anointing coming out of the believer. And that, with the prayer of faith, will make the sick person well. I'll tell you a couple of stories about offense and how we got sick because of it. Remember, it says when you confess your offenses to one another, you'll be healed of diseases. That's what that means. And that word disease incorporates a lot of things like bacteria, illnesses, ailments, viruses. Well, I've noticed, like I've said many times, that people who get the flu or flu-like symptoms or bacterial diseases or disorders or infections or viruses are people that are wounded in their soul, that people have offense in them. I see a lot of people having those kind of disorders. So a couple years back, we got our firsthand encounter with that. My husband and I, we had just started the ministry not too long before that. And a guy had emailed us and put in for a bid that we had put in for a printing job. We had a couple different people put in this bid for the printing job. And when we got all the bids, we realized it was too much and we didn't want to do the job, so we didn't do it. Well, anyway, so we dropped that job, and then about a year later or so, we got really our first level of exposure in media and on television. Our ministry exploded to a new level, and we were doing a lot more business and spending a lot more money because we were doing a lot more tasks. At that time, I remember my husband got an anonymous email sent to him from a guy who was not nice at all in the email. You could tell he was very upset and very wounded. And he was telling us what horrible people we were, and we were horrible Christians, and we weren't real Christians. And he said other choice comments that I won't share right now, but he kind of went on and on about that. Well, let me just give you a warning. Never send my husband an anonymous email, because he's like a computer genius. In like 5 seconds, he'll know exactly who you are. So he gets on the internet and goes, oh, honey, it's one of those guys that put in for the printing bid. And I went, oh, he must have gotten wounded because we didn't pick his business to do the job. But we didn't pick any business, but it must have bothered him. I said, just answer the email, honey. Just, repent to him. Tell him we're sorry. Ask him if we can do anything. Ask him to share his heart. And so my husband does, but he doesn't tell the guy he knows who he is because he doesn't want to embarrass him, right? So he sits there and he writes a nice email. Oh, we got your email. We're so sorry if we've offended you in any way. If we sinned against you, we really want to know about it. Would you please, communicate with us, tell us what we've done, because we want to repent to you and we wish you all the best and all the wellness. Please respond to my email. So the guy does respond, but he doesn't respond with, yeah, you did this for that. He responds with, no, you're not sorry. You don't want to do anything. You guys don't want to ask for my forgiveness. And he went on and on, and he was very, very angry. Well, my husband, answered another. He answered back, no, really. We are sorry. If you would just communicate with us in process and let us know what it is we did to, harm you, we would like to repent to you. Just please let us know. Share your heart with us. He writes back again, and it got even worse. You don't mean a word you're saying. You're a bunch of false Christians. He went on and on in this email. Well, pretty soon it started an email war. And my husband was like hooked like a fish. Couldn't stop emailing this guy. I could hear the keyboards pounding harder every time. And he was getting more and more bothered until finally my husband got offended. He got offended. So he would come out of the office and he would be ranting about this guy, right? He goes, oh, that guy emailed me again. I can't believe him. Here I am and I wrote all these nice emails to him. I didn't even tell him I knew who he was. And I'm sitting there begging him to receive, our sorry, our forgiveness, to tell us, to share his heart. And all he's doing is just disparaging and saying this and that. That guy is horrible. And I looked at my husband and I go, be careful. He's offended, but we can't let ourselves get offended. So watch out. And he goes, oh, whatever. Goes back and the email war continues. Right? And they go back and forth. And this went on for like a month. A month until my husband was completely offended. I mean, every day he would start ranting and raving about this guy. He would get out of his office and walk into the house and be like, oh, I can't believe it. I got another email from that guy. He's not a real Christian. A real Christian would never act like that. This is just too much and he better stop it. And he's starting to rant, right? And now as he's doing this ranting thing, it's like I'm feeling me getting offended. And I'm looking at him going, you need to stop getting offended because now I'm getting offended because you're offended. And it just went on and on. It's this full out war. It's all I heard about for like over a month, right? So then one weekend, we are home. I wasn't on tour for a change. We decided we were going to visit my stepdad out in Sun City. So we're like sleeping in that morning. I'm thinking everything is calm, but oh no, it's the calm before the storm, right? I'm laying in bed, and you know how you can feel the energy, the attitude coming off of somebody? I'm laying calmly in bed. My husband's asleep, but as soon as his eyes popped open, I knew he had just woken up, man. I felt it. I was like, right? And he opened his eyes and he puts his leg and swings it out of the bed. And as he did, he goes, that guy. And he goes, I dreamed about that guy all night. And he's like stomping to the bathroom, right? And he goes, I tell you, he better stop it or I don't know what I'm gonna do. And he gets to the bathroom door, right? And all of a sudden he stops at the bathroom door and he flips around and he looks at me and his entire countenance changes and he goes, huh, all of a sudden I feel really sick like I'm getting the flu. Ooh, as soon as he said that, I got so mad, right? I felt the offense rise up in me. And I looked at him and I said, you are getting sick because you let yourself get offended. And as soon as I said it, a wave of the flu hit me. Instantly, I'm so serious. Instantly, my muscles ached. I started sweating. I had a fever. My glands swole up. I felt that queasy, like spinny feeling. And I knew I'd gotten the flu. And that made me even more mad. I looked at him and said, and now I'm sick because oh, I got offended that you were offended. It was horrible. But we know what to do. So we get in the car, right? We pack all our stuff and we have to drive like 45 minutes to my stepdad's. And so we're in the car and we did the two steps. We sat there and we started with the blood and we just went like, Lord, you know what? We repent for being offended at that guy and for keep on playing into it and for writing the emails to him and for thinking offended thoughts about him and being judgmental and critical and bothered. We repent for that. We forgive that guy for being offended. Lord, we ask that you forgive his sin offense so that he doesn't get sick. And then I sat there going, God, I repent for getting offended at my husband because he was getting offended. And I repent for that and I forgive my husband for being offended. And we went through the whole thing with the blood. And then we didn't stop there. We went to the next step. We said, now, God, now we're going to just apply dunamis power. We know dunamis comes from the resurrection, that it makes us excellent of soul. It's the oil of the anointing that's poured out of people when they pray for the sick. And it's going to heal us of everything in our soul that came, all the wounds that came from those sins of offense. And we just prayed that the whole way. And then we pull in right as we're finishing. And I didn't have time to check to see how my husband felt or anything like that. We jumped out of the car. We got the dogs out and everything else. Take it in the house. I'm unpacking all the stuff. And all of a sudden, I'm going like this. And I'm checking my body. And the fever is gone. The swelling in my throat is completely disappeared. No more pain in my muscles. The flu was absolutely gone. I'd been delivered in 45 minutes of just praying for my soul. So I'm in there, and I'm like, I wonder how my husband feels. So he's doing something. I go in the living room. I sit down on the couch. And my husband's just so nonchalant about the things of the Spirit. I'm like, charismatic Kate. And he's like, Robert. So he comes in. I'm sitting on the couch, right? And he walks in like this. He goes, well, I'm healed. Just like that. All right, so we're going to do our first activation. You ready? Amen. Just put your hand on like your heart or your stomach, indicating that as you decree these things, they're going to your soul. There's the culprit now. It was a month. You know how they think. Don't get offended at them. Just pray for them. Okay, so put your hand on your heart or your stomach. Let's just start with the blood. Well, actually, let's start like this. Let's ask Holy Spirit to remind us of someone we might still be offended at. Now, I know a lot of you are thinking, look, I've already repented for that. I've already forgiven that person. But unless you put dunamis on your soul, you could possibly still have a wound inside of you. And it's still making you angry at that person. And it's still allowing that sickness to be there. Amen? So Holy Spirit, would you come right now? Holy Spirit, come right now and remind us of who we might be holding offense at. Holy Spirit, I ask that you would bring your revelatory power right now and bring to our heart and our mind a situation where there is offense involved so that we can then go forward with the power of Jesus from the cross and the resurrection to be healed. So let's just wait on Holy Spirit just for a minute right now as Holy Spirit ministers to us. How many of you already heard from Holy Spirit about a situation? Raise your hand. There you go. See that? Keep your hand up for a second. Let me look at all of you. See that? Holy Spirit's helping you right now. Now just start to put the blood on that particular situation. I'll start to lead you in prayer right now. Just say, Lord Jesus, I repent for being offended at that person. I need your blood right now. Take your blood. Wash me clean of my sin of offense. I am so, so sorry, Jesus, that I have been judgmental and critical and backbiting and offended at a person. Please wash me of my sin. I need your blood to atone for the sin in my soul. I receive your blood right now. And I believe that it's washing me clean of every sin of offense that could ever wound me. And I forgive the person I am offended at. Lord, wash their sin with your blood so that they don't get sick. I forgive them now. And I believe that you will heal them too. And I decree it in the name of Jesus. Now just focus on the blood just for a minute here. Just think about every time you thought in your mind those horrible thoughts about that person. And put the blood on every single one of those thoughts. Ask God to gather them up in one big bag and to douse them with the cleansing tide of his blood shed at the cross. The blood, the blood, the blood. Just keep on saying, the blood, the blood, the blood. I'm being washed in the blood. My sins are being washed in the blood. Some of you have layers of it that go back years from being offended at someone. Just continue to release the blood on your soul. Command it to go through the layers of offense that's in your soul. Really ask God to forgive you. This is important. Your health, your well-being is dependent upon it. And it pleases God when we are not offended. Remember, offense blocks Jesus from doing supernatural miracles. You need a miracle right now. This is important. Now everybody say amen. Now are we going to stop there? No. Now we need the oil of the anointing, don't we? The oil of the anointing poured out along with the prayer of faith will make the sick person well. What is dunamis? It's an anointing. So we're going to believe that you have dunamis. You already have it. You've been baptized in Christ. You went down in death with him at the cross, which meant you had access to the blood. You came up to a new life through the resurrection, which means you already have the power that comes from the resurrection, and that power is dunamis. So now, pour that oil of anointing out into your soul right now. That's what James 5 says, that when they pour the oil, anoint the people with oil, the prayer of faith will make them well. Pour out your own anointing of dunamis right now. Pour it out into your mind, pour it out into your heart, pour it out into your soul. Release your oil of your anointing of dunamis, because that's what dunamis is. It's an anointing. And that, with a prayer of faith, causes a sick person to be well. So I release it right now with you. I release my oil of anointing of dunamis. Said, if you're sick, go to the spiritual heads of the church. Well, I'm going to release what I have for you right now. Oil of anointing. I decree it right now. It's being paired with your anointing of dunamis. Going to your soul to heal your soul of every wound that came from being offended. Came from being offended. Receive the oil of the anointing along with the prayer of faith that right now your soul's being filled with dunamis. You are excellent of soul. I decree it right now. The oil of the anointing of dunamis flowing out even into the audience watching our program right now to receive healing in their souls right now. Everyone in this building and watching right now to receive healing in your soul right now with the power of the oil of anointing of dunamis. You are excellent of soul. You are wounded no more. In the name of Jesus, I decree the anointing of dunamis going deep into your soul right now to heal you of every woundedness that's making you sick in the name of Jesus now, right now. In the name of Jesus now, right now, in Jesus' name. Okay, just keep on releasing that anointing of dunamis inside you right now. Right now. Tooth enamel is growing again. More tooth enamel. Headaches are going to leave right now. Migraines. In Jesus' name. Bacterial infections right now. Dying. Somebody's had a repeated yeast. It's going to not happen again. It's dying right now. In Jesus' name. That came from being offended. Right now. In Jesus' name. Right now. Right now, spinal disorders being healed right now. Right now in Jesus' name, because you're being healed. The power of dunamis is healing you. In Jesus' name right now, in the name of Jesus right now. Now just start saying, I'm excellent of soul, I'm excellent of soul. Just start decreeing that over yourself. I'm excellent of soul, I'm excellent of soul. 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 I'm excellent of my soul. Excellent of soul, excellent of soul. Now say amen. Amen. Okay, now I'm going to talk about one more thing, and we're going to do one more activation, and that is your words. Your words. When you get offended, what's the first thing you do? You talk smack. Am I right? You talk smack. You can't wait to talk smack. You try to think of, who should I call so I can talk smack? Who's at home so I can run right into that room and tell them, you're not going to believe what happened now. You're not going to believe what they did now. Right? Am I right? You get on the phone and then you get like slightly convicted. Ah, man, I got to stop talking about it. It's really not good. But you just can't help yourself. And then after about 5 minutes, you go, well, you know, I wasn't going to say anything, but let me tell you what happened now. Am I right? We just can't help ourselves. We just want to talk about it so much, don't we? We have to be careful what we say. It is better to shut up because your words are wounding your soul and making you sick. Proverbs 26:22 says, the words of a slanderer or a whisperer are like deadly wounds. They go down to the innermost part of the body. That innermost part of the body, if you look it up, it means the inner self, the soul. So it says your words can wound your soul. And not only wound your soul, but become deadly wounds. Deadly wounds. It feels so good sometimes to talk about somebody that's acting the fool. But it doesn't feel good because you don't realize with every single word, you're digging your own grave. You're actually commanding a sickness to come upon you. I want you to think back right now. How many of you can remember a time that you were extremely offended and you also got sick at the same time? Raise your hand. See that? It's true. When you let yourself get offended and then you talk smack about peeps, the words of a slanderer or whisper like deadly wounds. They go down to the innermost part of the being. I got so many stories. I was in prison in Lowell, Florida, which is one of the biggest female prisons, women's prisons in the United States. And man, we were teaching the girls the stuff, same stuff we're teaching you about the soul, and they get it. It's so awesome. And they were moving into it, and miracles were happening. And then during one of the breaks, I was back in the chappie's office, and the girls were lined up to get a prophetic word from me. And this one woman stepped up, and I looked at her. And as soon as I looked at her, the Lord said, ask her about her pain in her tooth. I said, so you have a pain in your tooth? She goes, yes, ma'am. I said, how long has that been? She goes, for a while now, ma'am. I said, okay, let's get it healed. And I reached out and I touched her. And as soon as I touched her, I heard the word property. Property. Now, in prison, an inmate's belongings are called their property. And they're even given a property box to put their property in. And as soon as I touched her and heard that word, I felt that she had gotten very bothered because somebody, even offended, because somebody had messed with her property. So I asked her, I said, I heard that when you came up in this place that somebody messed with your property and you got really, really offended. Is that true? She goes, yes, ma'am. When I came up in here, the COs then took my shades and I was not well with it. And I said, oh, okay. I said, now, when that CO did that, did you begin to say offended, even cursing evil words about that CO? She goes, yes, ma'am. I said, well, remember what I taught. Proverbs 26, the words of a slanderer or whisperer are like deadly wounds that go down to the innermost part of the belly. I said, when you spoke about that CO in an offended manner, it actually wounded your own soul, and it made a bacteria and a rottedness inside your tooth. See, those words are coming out of your mouth. A lot of times people have mouth problems. That's how the disease will manifest because those words are coming out of their mouth. When you see people having a lot of mouth issues, probably you can ask them, are you offended? Have you been offended? And you can pray for their souls in that way, and then they'll get healed. So I asked her that. She told me, yes, she had done all that. And so I said, okay, let's get it healed. And I said, I want you to just start repenting for being offended at that CO and ask the Lord for forgiveness and forgive that CO. And while you're doing that, I'm going to pump your soul full of dunamis. So she began to put the blood on. I put my hand on her and I just began to pray that her soul would be filled with dunamis and it would become excellent. And so I did that and I just kept on going until I heard the Lord say it was done. That the wound was healed. And then I stepped back and the Lord said, now command the bacteria to die and command new enamel to grow in the tooth. So I said, I command bacteria to die. I command the pain to leave in Jesus' name. And I command new fresh enamel in that tooth. So no more rotted tooth in Jesus' name. Then I looked at her and I said, how's that pain now? And she goes, it's gone. Just like that, right? Okay, so we go out and we tell everybody what happened during the next session. She comes up and we testify and all that. And then I turned to all the ladies, and this place was jam-packed, okay? There was some peeps up in this place. And then I'm like, all right, ladies, how many of you in here have ever been offended at a CO and spoke evil offended words? Raise your hand. And the whole place goes, right? And I go, now, how many of you here have problems in your mouth? Raise your hand. 80%. 80% of them raised their hand. And I said, okay, look, we're going to get healed right now. And I said, we're going to start repenting for being offended, and we're going to start commanding our souls to be excellent, and you're going to start getting miracles in your mouth. And that's exactly what we did, and the miracles started breaking out. But it was so awesome because, you know, the police come up in there, and they have to watch you during the meetings because you just can't have a meeting with that many peeps in one room without some sort of, you know, control factor. And so the police are there, and the entire time I'm doing the meeting, you know, they know I'm an ex-inmate, so they're sitting in the back like this looking at me like... Right? Totally bothered, right? Like, who is this woman right there, right? But as soon as I started telling all the ladies, okay, ladies, you need to repent for saying offended words, cursing words about the COs, okay? Right now, start repenting. They're in the back now going like this. Yeah, y'all heard the woman of God? You all need to repent. And suddenly, for the first time in my life, I was friends with the police. I've seen a lot of stuff happen like that. We were in Ohio, and a woman had been offended at a friend of hers, a really good friend of hers. And of course, you know, when you're offended, you speak stuff out of your mouth. Well, she had had a filling in her tooth, and the filling had fallen out and left a big hole behind. And she would take her tongue and stick it up in the hole, and she could feel it, the craggly edges in the hole inside with her tongue. And she hadn't had a chance to have it fixed or had the money to have it fixed. So we're in the meeting, and I'm teaching this message, right? And then the next morning, it actually happened the next morning, a powerful anointing came on for enamel. And I'm up in the front going, enamel is growing back in people's teeth. I'm not kidding. I'm like that, right? This is really happening right now. And everybody's like, yeah, right. And I'm like, no, enamel's growing back in people's teeth right now. And so, like, I felt the power release, and then something happens to her. Right when I say that, she feels this excruciating pain. Oh, that is so good. She feels excruciating pain right in the spot where the tooth is. Now, remember the woman that came up this morning that had the enamel grow back in her teeth? What did she say? She felt all kinds of pain, right? There's something about when the enamel grows back in your teeth, you feel pain when it first happens. Okay, she felt this excruciating pain right in her jaw, and she went, oh, what was that? And then she goes, oh, I wonder. She sticks her tongue up there, and now she can't find the hole. She can't find the hole, right? So she's freaked out. So she runs into the bathroom, and she's like, looking in the mirror, right? Can't find the tooth. She runs out to her friends, like, look and see if I still got the hole in my tooth. And they're like all in the hallway doing, I don't see it, I don't see it. Open wider, no, I don't see it. So she runs back into the bathroom again. She's like, trying to find it in the bathroom, can't find it. Runs out to her friends, did that three times, going back and forth between the bathroom and her friends. Until finally she gave up. She came up to testify, and she just sat there and says, I am just shocked. I am shocked. Enamel just grew back in my tooth. I don't have a hole there anymore. And it was that easy. I'm like, yes. I pray for everyone right now, even the people that are watching right now, that as you get healed of the wounds in your soul that came from offense, that enamel, fresh new enamel, will grow back in your teeth, that cavities will disappear, holes will fill in, that enamel and new fresh coatings will come on your teeth. They'll be whiter and brighter than ever before. Disease will leave your mouth. Gingivitis, any type of other horrible mouth diseases or issues, root canals, anything that could be a problem in your mouth, I decree miracle healing dunamis power right now for you. That word dunamis means to be excellent a soul, but it also means the power to perform a miracle. I decree the releasing of miracle power right now. I release miracle dunamis power in this place right now. Right now. Right now. Right now in Jesus' name. 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 Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I hear we're almost there. I hear this hasn't happened yet, but it's almost there. It's about to crack. Okay? Let me tell you some more story. I had a woman on Facebook. She Facebooked me. She had heard the message. And she had done it at home. I think she only just watched it on a television program. She didn't hear the whole message. But she activated into the prayer, the two steps, with the blood and the dunamis at home. Now, she had a horrible gum disease. So horrible that her gums had receded so far down you could see the roots. And her gums were black. And whenever she brushed them even slightly, she would spit blood into the sink, lots of blood. Okay, so she does the prayer. And she didn't feel anything. All right, but then later on that night, she goes to brush her teeth, and she's brushing, and she's spitting, and there's no blood coming out. And she's like, huh, no blood. What's up with that? And she leans forward into the mirror and goes, all the gums have grown back and they're now bright, shiny pink. She couldn't believe how easy it was. Amen. We had a guy in, I think it was San Diego. He had a sinus infection that was constant. Do you remember how many years he said he had that? He said it was a long, long time. And he said, I am a person that has been always offended. And he had had this chronic sinus infection. Now, this is how bad it was. It stunk. It stunk. You could smell it. He could smell the poisonous bacteria. Other people could smell it. It was nasty, all right? He goes through the session and he repents for the offense. He puts the dunamis on his soul. We got to stop praying for, you know, I command boogers to dry up in Jesus' name. No, you got to pray for the soul. He prayed for his soul. He filled it with dunamis and he said it, I think it was instantly, wasn't it? Was it instantly? It dried up. And he knew it wasn't just a moment when it wasn't flowing because it didn't stink anymore. It didn't stink for the rest of the day, so he came up to testify. Come on, Jesus. Look, that's instant, an instant miracle because he repented and got healed of offense. There was a woman in Australia. I was on this stage, actually, the very first time I taught this message. She was flying in from Australia to come to this big conference that was here. She was offended. And I won't give details about that, but she was on the plane and she had been taking a continuous script of antibiotics. She would end the script and the infection would still be there, so she'd get another one. And she'd end that one and the infection would still be there, so she'd get another one. I mean, that's dangerous because you're just totally stripping your body. That's what antibiotics do, is just strips your body of everything, right? But see, that's what happens when you're offended and you have a wound in your soul that's making that sickness happen. You can take all the pills you want, and that disease won't go away until you get the wound healed. That's why people have continuous, constant diseases and disorders that never seem to stop. And no matter what medicine or stuff that they take from the doctor, it never solves the problem because it's going to continue to be there until the wound goes away because it's the wound that's giving that disease the legal right to be there. So she's on the plane and she thinks, you know, she takes so many antibiotics all the time, she doesn't even think about it. And she goes, oh my gosh, I didn't check my bottle to see how many pills I have left. I'm going to America. And she opens it up. She realizes, oh no, I'm going to run out. What am I going to do? Because it would just keep it like, you know, at bay from taking the pill. So the Lord speaks to her, says this. He says, you have this because you allowed yourself to get offended. That's why you have a chronic sinus infection. And goes, but in America, I'm going to tell you what to do. And she walks in this meeting and she hears the message. And during the activation, she gets instantly healed. Amen. Let's go and let's work on our words and our mouth, okay? Let's really, 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 really put the blood on our mouth. Can you even calculate how many icky, offended words you've said in the last week? Not to mention the last month or year or lifetime. Man, I got to check myself daily. Oh, I am not offended. I repent for even saying something that's slightly bothersome in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's really, really, really right now put the blood of Jesus on every single word we've ever said. Now let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we are so, so sorry for speaking offended words and criticizing and judging people. The Bible says the words of a whisperer, slanderer, are like deadly wounds. I have wounded myself with my words, and I've wounded other people with my words. I repent. Wash me clean, Lord. I need your forgiveness. I apply the power of the blood. Right now, Jesus, wash my soul of every sin of offense. Wash my mouth of every word I spoke in offense. I plead the blood over every word. I repent for every word, God. Wash my words in your blood. remove my stain of sin. And I forgive anyone who spoke offended words at me. Wash their sin, Lord. Remove the sin of offense from their mouth in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to really focus. Focus on your mouth. Ask God to go back in time to every place where you said those horrible things about people. Come on, do it some more. We've said a lot of words. We've said a lot of evil about people. Really focus. Come on, press a little bit more into it. Come on. We've said a lot of evil. Say amen. Now, put dunamis on those deadly wounds, because it says the words of a slander and whisper like deadly wounds. They went down to the innermost part of your soul. Okay, let's put dunamis on those deadly wounds that came from our mouth. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we decree that every deadly wound that we put on our own soul from our mouth, speaking evil about people, being healed right now by dunamis. We're so grateful for the power of the resurrection, that it's dunamis power that makes us excellent in our soul. And we decree that is what's going to heal us of our deadly wounds. So we release the oil of the anointing of dunamis. James 5 says, when the person is sick, go to the elders and they will anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith will heal the sick person. Well, we release the oil of the anointing of dunamis right now upon ourselves to get healed of those deadly wounds right now. And we are excellent of soul. We are excellent of soul. We are excellent of soul. Healed of every time we spoke against anyone, Lord. We are excellent of soul, excellent of soul. Fill us in our soul, Lord. Heal us. Heal us with your dunamis power. Overflow. Erase every deadly wound. Pull it out of our soul. And take the sickness and disease that's on us that came from it. We rebuke and bind that sickness and disease. And we cast out spirits of infirmity that came from our deadly wounds. From us speaking against people. Oh God, heal us now with dunamis power. We are excellent of soul. 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 Oh gosh, I just saw a fire burning up all the wounds. Let's give Jesus a praise. Amen. You're getting healed right now.